This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
It is Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes. I'm in all week. Try the veal. Unless you're a vegetarian. Gord Miller, Dave Poulin here.
Yes, I am in today, unlike yesterday when you tweeted that I was going to be here.
And he got top billing today, which sort of... I showed up yesterday, he didn't.
Who got top billing?
Gord Miller and...
On what account?
Dave Poulin. Terms of introduction.
Because I... Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
I think the guy that was here yesterday should get...
That's probably a fair thought on your part. I think I'm probably going with seniority because Gord's been a TSN employee for longer than you, Pooley.
Longer than TSN, actually.
Okay, can we just stop with that? Like, you know what happened this year?
It's seriously. A fair point.
You know what, seriously, I got on a plane this year. I'm going from Toronto to Detroit. At
He's
going to
verify my story.
6:30 in the morning, referee says to me, guy comes and says, I'm a new referee in the league. He says, I've been watching you my whole life. I said, well, how old are you? So I'm 33.
Well, hang on.
Let me finish. He says, I'm 33. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Alberta. I said, oh, my God, that's possible. It's actually possible.
Yeah, but you and I had this conversation a few weeks ago when we were doing a show together. You started in the business the year I was born. You outed yourself that way.
I'm 53. I'm not that old.
No, I know you're not old.
Yeah, but you started when you were 9.
You should, you know,
doing play-by-play. I've seen pictures.
Oh, my God.
Are there old Gord Miller photos?
Horrendous.
From the 87 Cup Finals.
Were you, because 80s, right?
Yeah.
Did you have a mullet?
Oh, I got a full-on mullet. There's a few of me with a full-on mullet. Yeah, 83. I started in 1983, April 14th.
We broke in the same year?
You broke into the league that year. Well, Dave said to me, we were talking one time, because Dave, what year were the Twins born?
86.
Okay, so in the playoffs that year, you left the playoff series. Or no, you left, you went to be with your wife to have the Twins, right? When were they born?
No, they were October.
They're October?
Yeah.
But David left to go have the Twins. And at the time, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, that was different. And I remember saying to Dave years later, you know, I've always really admired you for that because that was kind of a thing that people didn't do back then. And he said, yeah, they're at Notre Dame now.
Said, all in one sequence.
I said, what? Yeah, they're Notre Dame. Yeah.
Well, if they were born in 86.
Well, yeah, but it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Stop your phone from chiming.
You got to
actually.
He's got the iPhone 2. So
the iPhone 2.
And they're not getting it back. Yeah. They're not phasing me out of the phone.
They will have to pry that phone.
They are not getting it away from me.
Dave Poulin is not giving up his iPhone half.
I was fully expecting, based on Pooley's explanation of holding on to that phone, that he would have walked in with like a BlackBerry from 2005.
No, this is good.
When you used to have to scroll on the sides
Bob
and have
McKenzie,
the big...
Bob McKenzie, like...
The scratching and clawing.
The BlackBerry, he kicking and screaming.
Well, there's something about
I hate planned obsolescence for a good product. Like, that bothers me. Like, I don't like being forced to remove a good product from my life. I think it's just totally wrong. It's a wrong way to do business. Yeah,
I think the European Union came up with a great idea with the charging cords, that they all have to be uniform. Because that was one way they used
another
to get,
thing
right?
That makes sense.
Like they changed that port, right? They changed that charging port a bunch of times, right? So now you got a drawer
just a little
full
bit,
old,
just yeah. a little bit,
you got
just
a drawer
a little
full
bit.
Of old cables. Doesn't everyone have like a drawer full of
things that don't work?
Let's see. Well, what have we learned here today? Is Pooley anti-capitalist?
No, just planned obsolescence. I don't want a new phone. It's nice.
Clearly.
The size
clearly you
is
don't.
Great.
Clearly you don't, because the fact that you're still using that thing when it's half as fast, only half the apps work.
Maybe I only want to process it at that speed.
How many times a day do you get warnings about storage?
I get warnings multiple times a day, but I don't read them because that eats up power.
Well, Pooley was telling me yesterday about battery saving. I don't see it on my phone here.
Yeah, well,
I've started
see,
to
now,
look
this
for
is
it.
Very sophisticated.
I
have a special battery saving option, which lets me keep this phone. No updates, though. No updates.
I had to drive to Oakville. I had to drive to West Oakville this morning. I had to be there for 9, no later than 9, for an event. And
whereabouts? That's my hometown, Gord. Although I'm from Southeast Oakville.
I'll drop Tim Hortons head office.
Okay, yeah, Wycroft Road there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Google Maps saved me this morning.
Kept you off of the QEW?
Kept me off the QEW.
Yeah, you do not... I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You do not want to be on the QEW.
My apologies. No, kept me off the 403. My apologies. There was an accident in the 403. It put me on... It told me to go down the 427 and across QEW that way, not the 403. If I'd gone on the 403, I might not have made it.
See, I have that option on my fancy phone.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I absolutely do.
You're telling me the Google Maps works on that thing.
You can use the GPS. You can use the Waze. You can use Google Maps. Are you actually showing him now?
Yes.
This is terrible radio, by the way.
It is terrible. Yeah, he's got it.
Given the lack of...
It's a microscopic
screen. It's got everything I need on this phone.
Okay, stick with it, man. Hey, listen, I'm the last guy to talk. I've got shirts that I've had for like 25 years.
We all know that.
Yeah, but...
this, however, is not.
You got to feel good about that, though, if they still fit.
Including the one he's wearing today.
No, this is a new one. It's a new one.
A recent fitting?
Yeah.
Okay. You came right from the event? Because you're not dressed down.
I didn't go home. I did go home, but I didn't change. My washing machine...
There's a lot going on with you.
My day today just never got started.
Your washing machine broke?
The washing machine broke, and I couldn't fix it, so I had to call, and then, yeah.
Hey, the Jiffy app.
Could
I know
be planned obsolescence with the washing machine, too, you know.
No, it's not. It's a brand new washing.
Yeah, they're out to get you. Those retail outlets.
I think there's dog hair stuck in the thing. Anyway, whatever.
All right. So let's. Should we talk some sports or should
we?
We could keep digressing.
Were we talking about why you were wrong yesterday?
Well, this would be a first. What was I wrong about?
I think that Marco Stroman has a point. I'm not sure I like the way he handled it.
Has a point about what part?
The thing on Sunday where he was asked about after the loss to Boston.
Yeah.
A reporter asked him about, was doing a feature, I guess, on Nat Bailey Stadium in Vancouver.
Yeah, and I think about making your debut in Vancouver. Yeah. Something to do with Vancouver being a place Jays send their young prospects to get them acclimated
to
the
country. And he was asked, and he on camera declined. He said, not right now. We just lost to Boston.
Totally fair.
And then, now, as you point out, and I've been to Fenway and worked there, the clubhouse is very small, so you have to go outside. And... He blew up in the concourse, basically. And
in front of the public.
In front of, whatever public was there. I mean, we don't know how many.
Yeah, there's autographed people and families and stuff down
there. And kind of lost his temper. And my point was, if you're doing a feature on Roger Federer and his junior coach, and you ask him right after a loss, he's going to get upset. Like, and I get Stroman's hard to get. But that's not the time to ask someone.
Okay, no other time to ask this particular player, Gordon.
Then you don't get him.
Okay, well then.
Then you don't get him.
Okay, but then that
you don't
needs...
get a feature for your content for the All-Star break like you're directed to do.
Well,
so you can't do your job.
I've had the office tell me, hey, I need you to ask this guy this question on the game. I'm like, I'm not asking someone that on game day. Sorry, not doing it. If you want that question asked, you come here and ask
and
it yourself.
What if you're only
I have done
available,
that before.
What if you're only available on game day, you only pitch every fifth day, and you have to wait till after he wins and he's 2-7?
I just...
Can't ask a question? Like, you could go the whole year without being able to ask him a question.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that in this case, when the same company owns the team as the station, that they couldn't just say, we'll work something out.
Right, but...
That's even more so.
I mean, they get Blue Jays for sit-downs. We get them.
Yes, but Gord, go around the diamond on that team right now. How many of those players are, A, homegrown Blue Jays, which leads to the portion B of my question... If they're not homegrown Blue Jays, it means they didn't go through Vancouver.
Right.
C, high-profile Blue Jays. I mean, Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, there's not a long list. So if you're doing a feature about Vancouver and the role it plays in acclimating American or Latin American prospects to Canada to get them set for eventually coming to Toronto, which in and of itself is interesting because outside the money, there's not a ton of similarities. The cities are 3,000 kilometers apart. Mm-hmm. But if that's the story, Marcus Stroman is one of the faces of this franchise. And I know he's had a disastrous year, which reflects the first half that the team has had. But it is undeniable that when on, Marcus Stroman is one of the best pitchers on this team, could be the best pitcher on this team, and is undoubtedly, especially with the social media platforms, one of the faces of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a guy you want to talk to about that story.
Right. But after a game, on a game day after a loss, you're asking for trouble.
But that's the only time he speaks.
Then you don't get him.
I have no problem.
You don't get them.
First of all, I will agree with you on this. I will agree with you on this. The timing of the question is awkward.
And I don't blame the reporter because I'm sure his desk told him to ask.
Well, and I also would think that the reporter and the desk and everybody else around knows that the question would need to be asked at that particular point because you can't walk up to him on the second day or third day in between his previous start and his next start. Hey, can I get 2 minutes of your time? Can you come to the dugout or come to the warning track in front of your dugout and answer a couple of questions about this feature we're going to be doing? Nope, not interested.
And what we
Which is his prerogative, but if you have to get the question out, you got to get the question out, and that's the time to do it.
And that to me is the PR director of the team. I mean, you give him the heads up,
yeah,
and he gives the player the heads up. There'll be a question coming at the end of this scrum,
right,
to do with something that's not in context.
It to me is a self-perpetuating cycle of, it happened with Kessel after games here where you know, Kessel would get prodded and poked by people sometimes looking for a reaction.
Yeah, well, for sure he did.
I think there were people.
Do you think that question was looking for a reaction?
No,
though?
I think you're just trying to get an answer to the question for a feature you're doing because the desk really wants it.
I think
it.
Those are two totally different things.
I agree with you, Dave, but what I'm saying is asking a player after a loss questions like that, you're never going to get an answer.
Gord.
You had to know you're not going to get an answer.
Gord, yes, which is fine.
He's not going to answer it.
Like, but the issue isn't whether he answered the question or not. The issue is once the cameras went off in this specific venue, because if it was the clubhouse, if it was inside the clubhouse where it was just players and just media, none of this comes out. None of this comes out. This is the one venue in the American League where this has to happen, because that clubhouse is a broom closet.
Yeah, it's tiny.
You know, that is the one place where the camera people, when we used to do the post-game scrums, the camera people had to ask naked players to get out of the background so you didn't get any ass shots. That doesn't happen in any other clubhouse anymore in these new stadia. They've got massive, massive visiting clubhouses. Fenway is old school that way. So the issue is the nuclear F-bomb laden rant happening in the concourse.
Yeah, sure.
That's the issue.
And
that's the issue. And it tells you, because he maintained control on camera and just declined and said that question's irrelevant. That answer is fine. But he maintained control when cameras were on. Cameras go off, boom. So that tells you that there was some composure there and that there was a choice made at some point to lose that composure. Cameras go off, now I'm going to lose it.
Well, I mean, I think we all would like to think that when we're angry.
And I guarantee you 90% of players or more would not have reacted that way.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've been out of baseball. I used to do, 15 Jays games a year. But back in the 90s, I covered the team in their glory years, and they were a handful. Like, there was lots of trouble guys in that club. George Bell would take your head off for no reason other than it was Tuesday.
Gord, there is no question.
So I dealt with it back then, and I dreaded, there was a lot of nights I dreaded going down to the Dome. I dreaded it.
Nothing has changed, Gord. Gord, from Bell, and people will talk. I don't know if this has ever been said on the air, and quite frankly, I don't care if it's inappropriate. But it may not entirely be accurate. But there is a kind of working theory that veteran teaches rookie, rookie becomes veteran, teaches next rookie, and that there's a lineage from Carter to Delgado, who could be difficult with the media at times, as weird as that is to think. Vernon Wells learned from Delgado, Bautista learned from Wells, Stroman et al. Learned from Bautista. And that's just, but nobody in the media who covers the team thinks it's a privilege, necessarily wants to go up and talk to a player any more than a player wants to be talked to by one of us.
I got torn apart by Carlton Fisk at the All-Star game. I mean, torn apart for something
that I had a very, you know what, and it turned out to be, we came to a piece, because he's a terrific guy anyway, we came to a piece, but I got called out. I had to go right over to the guy's locker, Mark Burley in 2015, and we hammered something out over 10 minutes in a pretty intense conversation, and it was like nothing happened afterward. We shook hands. But there are multiple times over your career, Dave, I don't know if you witnessed it or went through it with a reporter when you were playing, there are multiple times where you get into it, but it gets solved. It's a one-on-one conversation. It isn't this, and there's a and I've said this, I said it to Pooley yesterday, there is a consistent pattern of behavior, unprovoked behavior. You can argue...
In that sport.
If you... Yes. If
in
you,
that sport.
If you feel, and you're entitled to this opinion if you believe, based on what you've read, that this is the case. If you feel Marcus Stroman was provoked, that's your opinion on what happened on Sunday. I can tell you that there is a consistent pattern over the last few years of occasionally unprovoked behavior toward the media. And so it would be wrong of me to deny that there may not be a little bit of pent-up, hey, back and forth. Fans shouldn't care about that.
Nope.
Listeners do not care about that.
Nope.
How somebody treats me in the confines of a clubhouse in a conversation is not relevant. Go out there and perform. Do what David Price says. He used to put it at the top of his locker. If you don't like it, pitch better. That was David Price's saying to himself. I don't know if it's advice that he's taken in to heart in Boston.
He didn't bring that sign with him.
But that's what he had. That's what he had in Tampa Bay. But my point is, fans don't care about this stuff, nor should they. And you know what? A lot of us in the media are able to go home, water off a duck's back.
Yeah, doesn't I mean it? It doesn't bother me now. I mean, it bothered me at the time only because it was so difficult day after day. It wore you down day after day.
Right.
Now I've covered, you know, pretty much every major professional sport. And I will say there's lots of great people in baseball, but there are far more difficult and bad people in baseball than any other sport
Why?
I've ever encountered.
Why?
I think my theory is it's an individual sport. It is by and large an individual sport where individuals are celebrated, and so you can still be a successful baseball player on a lousy, lousy team. And Reggie Jackson, you know, don't ask me where we lost. I was 3-for-4. Reggie Jackson, I was 18 years old, got sent down from Edmonton to interview Reggie because the Edmonton Trappers, the AAA team for the California Angels, were playing the Angels at Commonwealth Stadium. Now, just picture those dimensions for a second, but anyway. And so this is to promote that. So I go down. Reggie takes 3 rounds in the batting cage, shags some flies, does 8 sit-ups. And this kid says, "Hey, Reggie, can I get your autograph?" And he turns around with his profanity-laced tirade and says, "It's Mr. Jackson, and I'm bleeping working here." Gets up and walks over and says, "Where are you from?" I said, "Edmonton." He goes, "Bleep that," and storms off. And the PR guy says, "I'll bring him back." And I was like, I was 18. I was like, no, I'm okay. And we did like Doug DeSensei instead and Gene Mock. But, I mean, I just think it's the culture of the sport. It's a 162 days. There's no off days to speak of in that.
It's sport. Relentless.
It's relentless, but there is a culture in baseball. I mean, Carlton Fisk came to the All-Star game, MasterCard arranged for these guys to do sit-down interviews about MasterCard moments, and he sat down and demanded extra cash for it. And when I said I didn't have any, he like stormed off and cursed me out.
Well,
Kirk Gibson, I mean, Dave Steeb.
No wonder you stuck with hockey.
No, I mean, it was, and I enjoy calling baseball. It's one of the most challenging things I ever did. But one of the things I love about calling baseball is, I hate to say it, you didn't have to talk to baseball players. When you call the game, you don't really have to talk to baseball players. And you can pick and choose which ones you want to talk to. When you're hosting down on the field, you got no choice. If George Bell's 3-for-4 with a home run, he's your post-game guest.
So we're still pretty fortunate in the sport of hockey, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm always told that
hockey is a picnic, relatively speaking.
I think, honestly, one of the things hockey has going for it is its player. One of the biggest things hockey has going for it is the character and quality of its players. When Sidney Crosby was 16 years old, he was loading the skate sharpener on and off the bus in Rimouski. Like, you're not treated like you're something special. You're not put in a pedestal. You're not a high school All-American. You're not a first-round pick at 18 being given $15 million.
Anywhere I played, and I played in some good sports towns, all you heard from multi-sport media members were, you guys are the easiest to deal with, by far. But we had relationships with guys, too. I mean, we had beat writers that we had relationships
with. But, Pooley,
a lot of that's changed, too.
And I hate to go down this road, but I also think there's a Canadiana aspect to that. There are a lot of high... And I know I'm going down a difficult road
you
here.
Are.
I'm not implying that Americans are jerks or anything like that. What I'm saying is small-town Canadian kids are typically pretty affable. Are they not?
And I think, too, there's a difference in that... Baseball is a sport where if you're a really good high school player, you're dealing with the media a lot. Like, if you're a real good junior player, there might be a guy from the Moose Jaw paper there, but you're not going to be dealing with multiple media outlets and the kind of scrutiny that you get.
Like Alex Rodriguez was in the news at 15 or 16 years old.
So was Sidney Crosby.
Younger than that, yeah.
In a different way. I don't disagree with you, Scott. I don't want to get into, because there's lots of great American players and there's lots of lousy Canadian players, but it's cultural. Baseball, it's part of the culture of baseball. There's a... The locker room culture. There's an arrogance. There's an arrogance to baseball that is jarring when you first encounter it. And there's also, I think, there's long been, if you want to call it, for lack of a better term, there is a sense of entitlement that goes with baseball where every single thing is done for you.
And I don't know this. I mean, I'm assuming this to be true, and I don't think there is a sport of the four major North American sports that brings together more backgrounds and cultures than baseball.
Hockey.
I could be wrong.
Hockey.
Oh, hockey
can. Okay,
sure.
Well, European.
For sure it does.
But I'll tell you a story.
Swedes, Finns.
I'll tell you a story because it's not relevant now and it wouldn't affect anybody, and it has nothing to do with the media. It's more to the point of, and you guys know this, Pooley, I mean, how many locker rooms were you in over the years, that not everybody, when you see each other every day, is a best friend to the other. You know, you get fed up with each other. I'll never forget Colby Rasmus telling me in 2013 that when he slid hard, the Detroit Tigers were here for the Canada Day series in 2013. He slid hard into second base before the rules changed. He slid hard into second base to break up a double play, and he broke Tigers second baseman Omar Infante's leg with that slide.
Remember that, yeah.
That's Colby playing hard baseball, trying to help his team win. And he said, and remember, there was Jose Bautista and Encarnacion and a lot of Latin American players on the team. Colby believed that the players who were tight with Infante held that play against him. Now, whether he is accurate or not, Colby had a lot of problems, but there's this internal strife, too, in a locker room, and sometimes it manifests itself in terms of the way that the media is treated. We have no idea what's going on in the lives of these players on any particular day, and sometimes those things can lead to the reaction, and you're left going, what the hell is his problem, when really it's the 72 things going on in his life, or maybe the effects of some broken relationships in the locker room.
A guy having a bad day is one thing. A guy being a bad guy is something else.
Right.
Right. So a guy having a bad day, you kind of accept that and you move on. When a guy just kicks everyone around all the time, it's like when I heard that Jack Morris was driving around to spring training sites looking for a job, all I could think was, you were toxic to virtually everyone you came into contact with. Every teammate, every staff member.
Female reporter.
You were toxic to everyone. And now you're going around, you know, looking to get a job. Like, doors couldn't slam. Like, and he was a great pitcher.
Yeah.
He was a great pitcher. But I mean, the list of people, I'm sure you could find someone in Toronto that loved dealing with him, but I wasn't.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I mean, we got to get out, but Jack Morris worked here in the 2013 season, which was my first year on the Blue Jays beat, and was nothing but great to me. And so there's my skewed opinion of the guy. Yeah. I think Jack Morris is great, but I know there's a rampant history there, especially with female reporters back when he was a player, that would tell you otherwise. And so it's typically all our opinions are skewed based on how we are treated in any walk of life,
But to your point, just it doesn't matter to the people at home, and I get that. It shouldn't matter to the fan at home. It doesn't matter.
No. You don't like it? Pitch better. David Price.
I don't pitch.
Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Are the Raps the lead dog to get Kawhi Leonard? We'll debate and we'll visit with Brian Windhorst of ESPN in the 5 o'clock hour. And Dexter McCluster, former NFL All-Pro with the Kansas City Chiefs, new Toronto Argonaut. He's with us. It's Overdrive, TSN 1050. All right, the Argos' next game, Saturday afternoon down at BMO, a 4 o'clock start, a game you can listen to right here on TSN 1050, a game you can watch on TSN. This is Overdrive with Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes. Gord Miller, I got the side eyes.
Look at the hesitation right
no,
there.
No, I got, he side-eyed me there.
He
don't
drew his
screw this
into
up.
The conversation?
I felt a little intimidated by the witness.
I was just waiting to see which way you were going to go. Waiting to see where this was going to go.
Gord Miller and Dave Poulin, and we're pleased to be joined by the newest Toronto Argonaut, or one of the newest Toronto Argonauts, former NFL All-Pro. He played with the Kansas City Chiefs. He played with the Tennessee Titans. He's now in Argo. Dexter McCluster is on the line. Dexter, what's up?
Nothing much. How you doing? How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Welcome to Toronto. How long has this been in the making?
Honestly, it's been about a couple weeks now. I took a year off to kind of be with family and enjoy my kids and just be present. But, you know, I started coaching the high school team back in Tennessee, and I kind of got that itch a little bit, you know, that football itch. So I kind of reached out, and we were able to make something happen.
Now, Dexter, how much did your family here play a role in that? Because you're connected to Pinball Clemens, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So, actually, I knew I had family down here. We don't talk a lot, but we do keep in touch through family members. And I think it was a good thing for me coming down here and actually knowing somebody who is actually family, and that can kind of show me the ropes and keep me as confident as I need to be in a new city.
So that's Pinball's wife, right? Is your cousin?
Yes.
So what did they tell you about Toronto and playing in the CFL?
Well, honestly, they told me it was a great city. They told me they love their football down here, and just the game overall, it takes you back to just the love of football, people loving the game itself. So coming down here, I actually got a chance to see the city a little bit, and I have to say it's actually amazing. It's way more than I thought it would be. It's almost perfect.
Dexter, was there any physical side to this with you stepping out for a year? And if that's the case, are you all healthy now coming back in?
No. Actually, my last year when I was with the San Diego Chargers, I had a fracture in my right radius, the forearm area. But that's not why I took a seat back. I actually just wanted to, you know, kind of regather myself and just be with family, because I'm a big family guy. And like I said, I enjoyed it, but I always stayed working out. I stayed in physical shape. So when the time came, I knew I would be ready.
With Dexter McCluster, one of the newest Argos, running back, former NFL All-Pro. You'll remember him best with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. So I got to ask you this. I ask this question of every running back that I talk to, Dexter. What is your opinion of the way that your position is now viewed in the game of football, specifically the NFL?
I would definitely say... honestly, in the NFL, the little guys are kind of taking over. You know, it's not just the prototypical type of running back. And, you know, they feel that we don't last long. And when we reach a certain age, that we may not have it, or, you know, we may be a little fragile. But I think that's how they view it. But in hindsight, you know, if you're physically able to do it and you have the will and the want to do it and can contribute, I say why not? So.
And Dexter, can you remember when you first saw the CFL and saw the motion towards the line?
Yes. Yes.
And what was your thought on that? Wait a second, I get a running start at this?
Right. I was like, man, it's kind of cool. But when I actually tried to do it and actually run a route, it felt kind of funny, because it felt like the timing of my steps were kind of off. So that was a big change for me. But honestly, a guy like me that can work good in space and that can, you know, use that extra edge, I mean, it's going to be fun once I get the hang of it.
Do you have any ties whatsoever to Mark Trestman? I mean, I know he's the ex-Bears coach and was an offensive coordinator with the Niners and Raiders way the heck back. Do you have any familiarity with anybody on the coaching staff?
You know what? I don't. But, you know, since I've been here, I've been hearing a lot of good things about him. And I can see from day one that they like it a certain way. And the way they want to run, that's exactly how you got to do it. Very precise. And he's a very smart guy. I mean, all the coaches, they're very smart. They're intelligent. They know, you know, how to put the players in the position and what to do. And I think coming into that, you know, it makes it easier for the player.
How long do you think you can play?
What's that? I'm sorry.
How long do you think until you'll be able to play?
Honestly, it's pretty much the learning process right now. It's a lot of rules I have to learn. It's a lot of, you know, different terminologies I have to learn. But that's been my whole career. My learning curve is, I would like to say, A1. And, I mean, from what I've studied so far, I feel I'm pretty much ahead of the game right now. So I think only time will tell. And like I told them, I'm going to keep working hard and just get in wherever I can fit in.
Dexter, you're from the Tampa area. You went to Ole Miss. I'm a big 49ers guy, so there was a pretty good linebacker at Ole Miss. He might have still been there just as you were breaking in.
Patrick Willis.
I'm wondering, though, who you looked up to as a little guy and as a teenager as you were pursuing football.
I can honestly say it was always Barry Sanders and Warwick Dunn. I say that because, yes, I was the smaller guy, and they made small guys look good at an early time in football. So I actually used to watch Barry Sanders, before every college game that I've ever played, just to kind of motivate myself and just to kind of say, you know what, if you have it, you got it, so go do it.
Well, Dexter, you're going to love the city. I can promise you that. There is a ton to do. So hopefully you and your family get settled ASAP. We'll see you out there on the field, and we certainly wish you well.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Dexter McCluster of the Toronto Argonauts, former NFL All-Pro with Kansas City, also had some time with Tennessee and then a bit of time pre-injury with the San Diego Chargers.
Remember Henry the Gizmo Williams?
Absolutely.
So I remember when he played
the Gizmo.
When he played his first
Edmonton baby.
Yeah. When he played his first CFL game, I interviewed him and he returned a kick for a touchdown.
5'3"? 5'4"?
Five, 5'4", maybe.
Can I just jump in here? Because I want to do the thing with Gord again where we remind him of his age.
Yeah.
Gizmo was a player in the league in my earliest memories, Gord. But so, you covered his first game. Okay.
So he returns a kick for a touchdown. And in the interview, I said, what did you think? He said, I got the ball at the 20, then I ran across the 30, across the 40, across the 50, across the 50 again. I thought, damn, how long does this feel?
That's a great line. Yeah. That old thing, there's that extra body. There's that extra width to the field.
Well, the quarterbacks talk about that. Like, Doug
width Flutie's, or the 12th defender?
The width.
Yeah, the flat pass is right?
You step out to throw the out, right? You throw an 8-yard out. And if you hold the ball for an extra beat, that guy is now like 45 yards away. Mm. Like, it's not a short throw. Like, if he's 8 yards up the field at the sideline and you're on the hash marks, it's a long throw.
I'm always intrigued when people see the game for the first time, and particularly when I asked Dexter about the motion. It looks like there is so much going on out there for the offense.
Defensive players love it.
And it's timing, too.
Defensive players love playing in the CFL.
Now, would it not be that much harder for them with the motion coming towards them?
There's that, but also defensive linemen and linebackers love the yard off the ball. They love the yard off the ball. And the other thing, the one thing you get in the CFL, and I've always wondered how they can address this, is one of the problems you have for quarterbacks is you quite often have a guy from UBC blocking a guy from LSU. And that's a problem, right? You get mismatches along the offensive line where, an experienced import player is playing as a Canadian player who probably isn't at that level. I'm not dismissing Canadian players. There's lots of real good ones, but there are weak links, and a lot of I think it's a problem for quarterbacks getting hit a lot because there are cases where defensive linemen with a yard off the ball are significantly better than the guy that's blocking them, and that's a problem. And the issue, what happened was when the CFL expanded the number of imports, what did teams do right away? They loaded up on offensive linemen. The days of all-Canadian offensive line are gone, so it's a little better that way. But they also loaded up. They started loading up on defensive lines and running players in and out. You don't see defensive linemen anymore. I don't know if you saw the Argo game on the weekend in Edmonton, but it was an open mic game. And Mark Trestman asked the question late in the first half, why isn't Cleon Lang on the field? Like, there's 2:45 to go here in the first half. We got to get Lang out there. But they're rotating guys through to keep them fresh.
We've got to talk a little bit about the open mic policy, too, and see what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah.
Because I would have really rebuked it as a player. And I've had opportunities even as a coach to go on, and I'd say, I wouldn't be myself. They'll say, you'll forget it's there. And no, I won't.
I think
you can't get sewered. That's swearing and all that stuff. Yeah, get sewered.
It's an open mic, so you got to be careful with that. I guess what I'd say is, I kind of laugh in sports when teams are so secretive, and they want to have secret practices. Now football, I get it a little bit because you're running plays. You run actual plays from formations, and you could sniff out a play if you knew it was coming. But realistically, within a game, hearing a team's play calls.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not.
That does, like, everyone knows what you're running.
I'm not about the secret part of it. I'm about the, particularly from a coaching standpoint, not being yourself and being guarded in what you might say to somebody.
I think you're in the moment. I think you're pretty much in the moment. I think, you know, when
which
you're
I know you are, which is what would concern me.
When you're playing a game, I mean, I remember when the NHL came back from the lockout in 05 and we started miking players. And it wasn't live. It was played back on tape. And there was a person from the NHL had to approve it. And one of them was a girl named Emily, who was just out of university. And she was wonderful, very, very kind, very nice. And she's wearing this headset, and some guy's like, "I'm going to stick my," and she'd take the headset off. It can't use that.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Windhorst of ESPN is going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. He says the Raptors are in the driver's seat for Kawhi Leonard.
Am I just crazy on this?
We'll come back to some CFL chatter because Terrell Owens has opened up the 10-day window with the Edmonton Eskimos. And just for clarity on that, Edmonton has 10 days to offer him a contract to retain his rights. Right. It doesn't mean they have to come to an agreement. And Pooley and I yesterday opened up a poll on Twitter.
Oh, no.
I threw out four English Premier League teams that would be non-bandwagon teams to cheer for now that I have this newfound love for soccer.
Okay.
And a fan base and a supporters group took over the poll.
And
I've got 6,300 votes, and I'm going in on this team. I'll tell you who it is. It's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, Dave Poulin. Sometimes it's Dave and Gord, I think.
We're in your head.
Overdrive, TSN 1050.
The greatest moments in history are now up to you. This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
Yeah! It's 4:50 and you're listening to Overdrive with Scott MacArthur, Dave Poulin, and Gord Miller. Okay. The winner...
Top billing for this segment.
It's a short segment.
From today's Sound Wars battle between having the time of his life and... Denis Shapovalov is...
It's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life.
Sergio Dipp, having the time of his life. That was the Vance Joseph commentary or the sideline report in week one of the NFL last year.
Yeah.
All right, so congratulations if you took in your bracket having the time of his life. And now it's time for a Sound Wars battle in the Yes Guy, No Guy conference.
Mm.
It's seed number one, Mac Jamison.
Friday pre-tapes, you're into this kind of stuff.
I'm so excited. I wish I was in my car, like, driving around.
All right, so this is a Vegas legend. I caught up with him earlier this afternoon. Mac Jamison. Mac, what's happening?
Is this Brian?
This is Brian. Did that just cut out?
This is a joke, isn't it? I'm calling you out.
I don't know who you're talking about, man.
You were my boy. We were peas and carrots 2 minutes ago, and you just wall squat great white sharded right in my yip. Mac Jamison? I want to hear the beginning again, because I guarantee if I hear the guy's voice, I'll tell you who it is.
All right.
Is this Brian?
This is Brian.
I quit the show.
Oh, that was epic. All right, so that's seed number one, Mac Jamison. Here is seed number eight. Did I say Rafalski?
When he was in Jersey, guys like Brian Rafalski, even Scott Niedermeyer, dude. Zach Parise. Did I say Rafalski?
Yeah, they left.
Yeah, yes. Three names ago.
Oh, so what? That was...
Go back to the tape, yes, Mullen. Please. Get the tape. The tape. Go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite, Mac Jamison, or did I say Rafalski? Voting for this Sound War closes tomorrow at 8 a.m. Listen to Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sound Wars battle right here on TSN 1050.
Who's your soccer team? I want to know. Who'd the audience pick?
Approximately 6,300 votes. I've never had a poll go to 6,300 votes, and that's because it got retweeted by a bunch of fan accounts for this team. The four options were Spurs, West Ham United, Newcastle, and Everton, because I would not take Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, right. Liverpool, Arsenal. Not going to be a bandwagon. Okay. Almost 70% of the votes, West Ham United. Come on, you Irons. I'm going to get a jersey.
Yeah. It's a beautiful kit.
I found...
Now, don't do this. Listen to me very carefully. Do not be what they call in the UK a full kit wanker. Do not be a full kit wanker. A guy who wears the jersey, the shorts, the socks. Like, don't be that guy.
The fan supporters bar here in Toronto is the Dog and Bear Pub on Queen West.
Nice. Close to your house.
There you go. I can walk.
Walking distance.
Walking distance.
Stagger.
Sunday morning, August 12th, season opener.
That's your side. Craig Forrest played for West Ham.
So you've never had
a... He also played for Ipswich, didn't you?
Yeah, remember? Ipswich Town, yeah.
You've never had a side like this. So I now follow on Twitter my first footballer coming out of the World Cup. I chose to follow one player.
Neymar.
Harry Maguire.
Oh, Harry Maguire, yeah.
Just, show me the money.
Harry Maguire. You see the pictures of him back with his family after this.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, he's just a guy.
Oh, he's just a...
He's just a guy.
If he wasn't playing, like, he'd be in the stands fighting.
He would be clearly involved. It's just an awesome chuck. He's
so
the one
West,
guy
you're West Ham man.
I'm West Ham, man. I have been since day one. Come on, you Irons.
Since day one.
Hashtag
day one being what? Day one being
day one was yesterday.
D1 being yesterday.
Day one was today. Because the poll just closed. Mark Sacchino, Brian Windhorst in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Overdrive, TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.